Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is our reading from Isaiah, the 55th chapter. The congregation may be seated. This text from Isaiah reminds us that the infinite mind of God is beyond our finite comprehension. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Yet the wonderfully amazing thing is that God has chosen human language to communicate his thoughts and his ways to human beings. The word of God is so simple that even the smallest child can understand the message that God wants to convey about salvation, Jesus Christ. And yet, even the wisest scholar cannot fully grasp the depths of God's infinite wisdom that is put down into human words. Yet like water is to parched soil, this wondrous word of God is to human beings as it gives life to our souls. And this is how Isaiah so beautifully describes the life-giving word of God. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there but water the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. The purpose that God sends his word into this world is to give life. To give life where there is deadness and sin. Through his word, God deals with sinners in two ways. To the hard-hearted sinner, he reveals his righteous wrath and anger against sin and the need to repent or face condemnation. To the sinner whose heart is broken and contrite, God reveals his grace and his mercy, his desire to forgive, and in that forgiveness, to offer life and salvation. So Isaiah summarizes this twofold working of God through his word with these words. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. By revealing God's wrath against sin, and also his mercy for sinners, the word of God always fulfills the purpose for which God sends it into the world. But for the word of God to fulfill the purpose for which God sends it, it must properly be understood and divided. Martin Luther wrote, "Hence, whoever knows well the art of distinguishing between law and gospel, let him place at the head and call him a doctor of Holy Scripture." You see, though people have the word of God, if the gospel alone is preached and there is no clear teaching of God's law, then there is no repentance and people are left to die in their sins. If only the law is preached and not the grace and mercy and forgiveness of God, then one of two things happens. One, people are left in their despair and sins, for there is no remedy. Or they become prideful and arrogant, thinking themselves to be righteous in their own eyes, very much like the Pharisees. It is the word of God, then rightly divided, that reveals who God is and what he's done for his creation. It is the word of God, rightly divided, upon which the church as a whole is founded, and upon which this congregation is also founded. And it is also the word of God, rightly divided, that gives life to the sinner. So thus the Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. As the rain and the snow give life to parched soil, so the word of God gives life to sinners trapped in sin and death. The psalmist writes, "My soul clings to the dust. Give me life according to your word. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word." And the apostle Paul commends the Philippians. He says, "They shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life." We confess in Nicene Creed that the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life. And as God's word is rightly proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is given along with the word. And as the Holy Spirit comes to you through the word of God, he reveals to you what God has done for you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And thereby the Holy Spirit gives life to sinners, because he teaches you the word that proclaims the life, death, and resurrection of the only begotten Son of God. Yes, indeed, scriptures proclaim Jesus and him crucified for your life and salvation. Jesus is the message and content of Holy Scripture. Jesus is why the Word of God gives light. Jesus said to the Jews, "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life." And again he said to the Jews, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are Spirit and life." And later in John's Gospel, Jesus would say to those same Jews, "Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." So it's quite clear that when Isaiah says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him when he is near," it is nothing more than Isaiah's call to read and study Holy Scripture. It is nothing more than Isaiah's call to apply the Word of God to your life in the way in which God desires that be applied, in law, to show you your sins and call you to repent, and in gospel, to show you your Savior and God's gift of grace. The Word of God gives life because it reveals Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is His Word. Seek the Lord in His Word, where He desires to give you instruction, His wisdom, His mercy and compassion, His guidance, His forgiveness, His truth, and His hope for eternal life. Yet today is a day when people do not go looking for God where He is found. Not even Christians seek God where He is found in this day and age. The Pharisees at least searched Scripture, but they didn't understand what they were reading because they resisted the Holy Spirit. But it's quite remarkable how few Christians in this day and age actually read and study their Bibles apart from the Sunday morning worship service. Today, Christians seem to have become like everyone else. Being wise in their own eyes, they try to seek God where He is not found. Reverend Jonathan Fisk, in his book, Seven Christian Rules That Every Christian Ought to Break As Often As Possible, the title is Broken. He lays out where people in this day and age look for God and try to find some kind of life in this broken world. The first place he mentions is that they look for God in their hearts. This is known as mysticism. The belief that direct knowledge of God can be attained through your subjective experiences of God or something God-like. Mysticism is nothing more than the worship of emotions. Trying to find God in your heart. For that kind of Christian, the truth isn't the highest priority. Feeling good is the highest priority. But God isn't found in your heart. You can't trust your emotions because they constantly lie to you. Indeed, Jesus said that the heart is a source of all kinds of sin and mischief. So clearly, if you seek to find God in your heart, well, since your heart is lost, you are lost. Another place where people seek to find God is in their hands by what they do. Pascafist calls this moralism. They believe that access to God can be achieved through your personal efforts or attempts to improve yourself. Moralism, then, is nothing more than the worship of your works. Moralism says, do this and you will live. But as we started our worship service, we confess truthfully that we are poor, miserable sinners. That we are by nature sinful and unclean. That means all that we do is tainted by sin. All that we do falls short of God's expectation of perfect holiness. If you seek to find God in what you do, then what you're going to find is the law. The law is never satisfied, and the law always condemns. The third place where people seek to find God is in their mind. And this is known as rationalism, the belief that contact with God can be found through the clarity of your observations or the consistency of your logic. Rationalism, then, is nothing more than the worship of your thoughts. But Isaiah has already made it quite clear. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. The human mind cannot reason its way to God. The human mind cannot understand the ways of God. They are beyond human reason and understanding. Think of the cross. The Apostle Paul says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart." And then, of course, there is the fourth place where people seek to find God in prosperity. The belief that the way God feels about you is measured by how good your life is right now. Prosperity, then, is nothing more than the worship of health, wealth, and wellness. Jesus has something to say about the worship of mammon in our gospel reading. And as for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. No wonder Jesus said that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Mammon is the great enemy of your soul. You will not find God in possessions and health and wealth. Trying to find God in your hearts or in your works or in your minds or in the riches of this world is a futile endeavor. For God is beyond human feelings or thoughts or efforts. He is beyond filthy mammon. But God does reveal His ways and His thoughts to you in His Word and in His sacraments. God saves you in these things, not in human works or endeavors, not through your own efforts or your minds, your hearts, or your wealth, but through His Son, who gave up all these things to be your Savior, who forsook everything out of His great love to you, to suffer and die on the cross. You won't find the message of Jesus dying on the cross in your hearts or in your works or in your minds or in the riches of this world. But you will find that message of God's great love for sinners in Holy Scripture. When God speaks to you through His Word, when the Word is purely preached, and the sacraments rightly administered, there you find God. There you find God where He has chosen to be found. There you find God where He has chosen to give you His gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. There you find God in His living Word. When Reverend Matthew Harrison was elected to his first term as synodical president, he first reminded the convention that they had elected a poor, miserable sinner. And then he lamented that so much of the governance of our synod now depends on one man. The direction of synod depends on who the president is. It shouldn't be that way, he said. The church that lives and endures, the church that thrives, isn't established on a person. It isn't established on programs. It isn't established on anything in this world. It is founded on the rock of our salvation. It is founded on Christ and His Word. For the Word of God alone endures forever. The Word of God never lies. It doesn't change with the times. What God promised 2,000 years ago will be true 2,000 years from now. And so the church that is founded on the unchanging Word of God endures as the Word of God endures. The church that is founded on the living Word of God lives as the Word of God lives. For it is only the Word of God that gives life to the church. And the same goes for each and every Christian. The Christian who lives in the Word of God lives because he lives in Christ and His life-giving Word. The life that God wants to give you, He gives you through His Word. Our souls are parched by sin and death. And nothing in this world, nothing in our hearts or our minds, our hands or our possessions, can bring true refreshment to the soul. Only the Word of Christ, only His words of eternal life can do that. So, as Isaiah proclaims, seek God where He is found. Seek God where He brings life and immortality to life. Study His Word. Read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, that God may give life to your souls. For it is through His wondrous Word that God reveals the mystery of salvation. Jesus Christ, God and man, born, living, died, rising again for you. The Old Testament Scriptures prepared the world for the revelation of this mystery, and the New Testament Scriptures proclaim Jesus to you and to all people to the end of the age, so that God can call through His living Word many to believe in Jesus and, like you, have life in His name. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.